This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. What a beautiful day here in the Mile High City. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend. Well, we've got a new guest for us today, Kim Happensure. She is with Senior Care Authority, and it is great to have Kim in studio. And we're going to be talking about something today about senior driving. And so, Kim, first of all, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me
today. It's great to have you in. All right, so Senior Care Authority, take just a couple of minutes and kind of tell us about your business.
Sure. So we are an elder care consulting as well as we do senior living placement, and we help families navigate the vast industry of, you know, making decisions, the tough decisions, mm-hmm. on what they're going to do for their loved ones. You know, whether it be they stay at home or whether they need immediate placement or if they're just looking in the future, we help them navigate that because, a great example, just in my area alone, there's 470 communities.
Wow.
So I can help narrow those choices down and help you make the right decision on their next steps.
Sure. Because everybody's situation is different, isn't mm-hmm. it? I mean, you don't know what kind of care the loved one may need.
Right.
And so I would not want to try to just Google some different spots. And I mean, if you've ever looked for an apartment, even through your life, I mean, that's a pain. I can't imagine doing something for a loved one that may need some care.
Well, you're right. And a lot of times, you know, they thank us over and over. I've helped over 1,200 families. So in doing so, they've all had different situations.
Sure.
You know, we've even got some, especially going through this pandemic, the isolation and being alone at home. They are actually ready to get out and, mm-hmm. you know, they get moved into even an independent living. They start having fun again. They start making new friends and sharing meals with one another as opposed to being in their home day in and day out without seeing family or friends.
Right.
They've gone through a lot in the last year and a half.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, we could take the whole show and just talk about the pandemic and all the that caused, I mean, stress for all of us. I don't care how old you are.
Absolutely.
It was stressful. And then, you know, not being able to see family members and going and visiting them. And man,
yeah, it was tough. It was tough on everyone, but we are here to help narrow those pathways down because, again, a lot of times, you just like you said, you Google, it's so hard. You don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
So just step by step, we help with that process, and we help with transition, and we also follow up with families after they've already made that transition to make sure and ensure that they're getting the care that they need and they deserve.
Sure. All right, and we're going to have Kim on several more times here and go through a lot of things just to help our senior community and caregivers. But today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the topic of driving. So we've also got Matt Gerwell joining us. Matt, how are you?
Yes, sir, I'm doing fine. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well, and Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity program. So Matt, kind of tell us about this program, and let's give us a little your background and then what this program is all about.
Sure. So, Scott, I am a retired Ohio State Trooper. And, you know, going through my career of 25 years, which, by the way, I loved every minute of, but I saw that there was a void in the system, so to speak, on what we do. I'm in Ohio, of course, but not only what we do in Ohio, but across the country, with older drivers that may be experiencing a diminished driving skills, either physical or cognitive diminishments. And I want to make very clear that I'm not talking about all older drivers. In general, many of them are still excellent drivers and will be for years to come. But I think we'd all agree that there is a certain part of that population that is experiencing some decline in driving abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there was a problem with nobody really wanted to be the person or the profession to tell this person that they probably shouldn't be driving any longer. That's not always a pleasant conversation. So that's what we started doing here upon my retirement. We started a company that developed this Beyond Driving with Dignity program to help older drivers make the right decisions about their driving future. And that can be anything from, look, after we meet with them for this 3-hour session, it can be anything from, look, Mr. Smith, I think you're doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. And if anything changes down the road for you, call us back, to the other extreme. And the more often the case that, you know, I'm not sure you should continue driving again. So that's what this program is designed to do, is to help mediate that conversation between the families and the older drivers themselves, so that they can face this issue. I'm talking about the older driver,
right?
And possibly retire from driving, but still maintain their dignity in the process. And that's why the very name of the program is Beyond Driving with Dignity, because we place a huge amount of emphasis on helping the person maintain not only their dignity, but also their pride and their independence as well, through what can certainly be one of life's most difficult transitions, and that is that of a driving retirement.
Sure. You know, because it's tough. I mean, let's take the parent role and child role. I mean, I don't care how old you are, you're still the child, and then you're trying to take the keys away from the parent. And
absolutely,
that conversation, yep, a lot of times doesn't go good, because that's kind of their last end of freedom, getting out and doing what they want. So, boy, I can see where this would be a huge help in just, you know, taking us out of it, so to speak, and then you telling them, hey, you know what, you don't need to be driving anymore. That's not us telling them.
Right, exactly right, Scott. And the older drivers typically are a lot more receptive to not hearing it from a family member. And that's what we try. We try to serve that role as an independent third-party opinion, coming in and trying to help the older driver and the family make the right decisions about their driving future.
All right. So, Kim, if someone wants to take this course, kind of tell us the process. I mean, do you go to them, they come to you? How does all that work?
No, absolutely. So we'll meet with the family. They'll reach out to us. And generally, there's an interview process, basically. There's a lot of questions that we ask them, and then after all those questions, to just start building that relationship. Mm-hmm. And then we will come to their home, and I will sit with them, and it's about 3 hours that I spend with them, and we perform multiple, you know, not only the questionnaires, but a lot of it is based on building the relationship with that senior and that trust first.
Sure.
You know, I think starting from there, that makes all the difference in the world. What is it, Matt, that you say they figure out if they like you within 30 seconds of meeting you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then everything else that takes place during that session is seen through that filter. So Kim is exactly right in what she said. I just want to reiterate that a lot of this time, this 2.5-3 hours, is dedicated to earning the trust and building a positive rapport with this person, so that if at the end they shouldn't be driving, they either say that themselves, believe it or not, they offer that opinion up, or at the very least, they're receptive to what Kim has to recommend.
Right. No, absolutely. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Kim Haffinscher is our guest with Senior Care Authority, and also Matt Gurwell. And Matt is the program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity. And if you'd like more information, you can call 720-625-2782. That's 720-625-2782. So, Matt, what stats are out there, kind of? I mean, boy, you know, it seems like traffic is back. I don't know about we're in Cleveland, but I'm telling you, you know, for a long time during this whole pandemic, it was kind of nice being on the highway. I mean, nobody was on the roads, and, you know, traffic was way down. I do a show with a personal injury attorney every week, and, I mean, accidents were down, which we're thankful for. But, I mean their business just stopped. And now, wow, traffic is very heavy. But what are some of the stats with senior drivers?
I'll tell you two that I like to make mention of most often. Of course, there are infinite number of statistics available. But the two that really resonate the most with me are, number one, that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, says that on average now, Americans are actually outliving their safe driving years by 7 to 10 years. So the good news is we're living longer. The bad news is our driving abilities are not, right now, they're not able to keep up with that extended life expectancy. So that being said, then, Scott, all of us can expect the day to come where it's just no longer safe for us to continue driving. So that's one of the things I like to encourage folks of any age, is to Kind of develop your plan B now, because if you live long enough, your plan B to maintain your independence, because if you live long enough, you're probably going to outlive your safe driving years.
Sure.
So again, regardless of our age, we all need to have a plan in place to help us figure out how will I maintain my independence if I can no longer drive. And the other statistic I like to make mention of, in a two-vehicle fatal crash, so two cars run into each other in Denver, Colorado, and someone is killed in that accident, if one or the other drivers is 70 or older, that person is 3.5 times more likely to be the person killed in the accident, just purely of their age.
Right.
So when I talk, Kim and I talk to groups of older drivers, you know, we tell them that, you know, at 85 years old, you could be the safest driver in this presentation today. But if a younger driver runs a stop sign on your way home today and hits you and someone is killed, there's a 3.5 times better chance it's you, again, just because of their individual's age. And that's primarily due to frailty. There are also some other contributors as well. But basically, that's due to our frailty as we age.
Right. Now, as far as skills that you would consider required for safe driving, what would those be?
I like to break it down, Scott, into two different categories. There are cognitive skills and there are physical skills. The physical skills, of course, are, and we hear this all the time from family members, my mom doesn't see well, or my mom doesn't see well to drive at night, or my dad has lost his hearing, or I think their reflexes and reaction time have slowed significantly. Their strength is not what it used to be. Their balance and their coordination. So those are examples of the physical aspects required for safe driving. And then the other part of that is the cognitive part, your executive functioning skills, your ability to reason and do things like that, mind-type things. And more specifically, Scott, within that cognitive part of safe driving is the whole issue of memory. So many times we, when have discussions about a particular older driver and we're worried about their ability to remain safe behind the road, we talk about those physical qualities because they're the ones we see and they're the ones most obvious to us. But we overlook the important role memory plays in older driver safety. I like to even tell family members that if you've got a loved one that's getting lost in places that they've driven to, for decades, it's time for them to retire from driving because memory is such an important piece to safe driving.
Hmm. You know, and not, I want you to be an attorney here, but is there any legal ramifications probably to a family that may know, you know, grandpa or grandma should not be driving? They know 1,000%. they call them sometimes and, hey, I'm here. How do I get home? That kind of deal. And then all of a sudden they're in an accident and maybe kill somebody or, you know, cause a horrific accident. Is a family anyway responsible for that?
Yes, and of course, Scott, as you can imagine, that depends on a million different factors.
Sure.
From state to state, jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but it's called negligent supervision. If the family knows that mom is an unsafe driver, then they have an obligation to do what they can to keep her from driving and keep her from preventing this terrible crash that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they can indeed be held liable. Now, that's only to a certain degree, and they have to prove that they knowingly knew mom was at an elevated risk for a future traffic accident. And hopefully the family has taken steps to do what they can to get her off of the road before something happens. But ultimately, at the end of the day, they certainly can be held liable.
Yeah. And, you know, even forgetting the legal side of it, Kim, I would hate to live with that, knowing I knew it, knowing I had the power to do something about it and didn't, and then someone, be injured or killed because I didn't do something. That's a lot to live with, even if the legal area doesn't get in there.
Absolutely. And actually, when we did our extensive training, so I would be better prepared to actually meet with these families, Matt had shared a lot of statistics with us just in regards to loved ones that have passed away, that they've just lost their way. And the stories were just, they're endless.
Right.
So, you know, I feel our responsibility is just to always do the best we possibly can. But again, a lot of times me telling my father, hey, Dad, it's time for you to give up the keys. He would be like, oh, yeah,
right.
I raised you. I provided for this family. Sure. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I think that, you know, just the training that he's provided for us, it's really going to help us to kind of walk these families through this step by step, as well as right. building that relationship.
And so,
Kim,
go ahead, Matt.
Kim, it really puts the family in an awkward position. You know, exactly what she said again. You know, mom or dad are the folks that taught us how to use forks, right? When we were back to, and now all of a sudden the roles have reversed, and we're the party charged with telling mom that maybe she should discontinue driving. And that's a very difficult conversation, of course. And this program allows the family an opportunity to outsource, so to speak, what I like to call the dreaded driving conversation.
No doubt. Once again, you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. Matt Gerwell is with us, program director and founder of Beyond Driving with Dignity, and also Kim Havensher. She is with Senior Care Authority. And Kim's number, if you want more information on this or the placement for maybe a loved one, give Kim a call, 720-625-2782. So, Kim, I'll let you start, and then, Matt, you can add in anything you want. But is there any kind of self-assessment thing you can say, okay, look, you guys, if we've just brought up something that you think, man, we need to pay more attention to that, what can a loved one maybe do with, you know, the one they're concerned about driving on their own?
Okay, well, Matt, I think I'll let you take that one because Matt speaks to it more fluent than I do.
All right, Matt, go ahead.
Yes, Scott, that is exactly what we call this this 2.5-3 hour one-on-one session is a self-assessment. Kim, but and let me explain that, please. Kim and I and the others are not driving assessors. All we do is facilitate a self-assessment. And as Kim mentioned at the start of this this show, we just bring a basket of tools to the older driver, a very learning conversation, and all sorts of tabletop pen and paper type exercises. And we just facilitate, again, the individual working through this program. And then at the end, they are ultimately still the decision maker. So, again, this is not it's a clinical driving assessment. We don't have the authority, nor do we want to have the authority, to take away the person's license and their keys. Our objective is to get him to assess himself, and that's the role we serve, and then give him the opportunity to make the right decisions about his driving future. Interestingly, I'm sure most of the listeners are thinking, well, that sounds great on paper, but you're not going to get my dad to voluntarily say, okay, right, I should give up driving. But interestingly, Scott, two-thirds of the people we meet with for this session actually do retire from driving as a direct result of this session. And the whole thing, again, is designed to involve the older driver and empower them to make the right decisions. We talked earlier about the value that of trust building and building a positive rapport with this person. And I mentioned a learning conversation where Kim will come in and she'll sit down with the older driver and she'll ask him or her a million different questions, a lot that you would expect to be asked of someone who's driving is being questioned. You know, what medications do you take? How many accidents have you had? How is your vision? Things like that. But, Scott, we also ask them questions like, what was your favorite vacation as a child? Or what was your first car and what do you remember or not remember about it? And every time you ask an 80, 85-year-old person that question, the same thing happens. They get this giant grin on their face, and they're happy to go back and talk about their right. very first kid. I had one of my favorite responses was a gentleman that I met with, and his wife had passed away some time ago. And he said, my first car was a 19-something-something-something. I don't remember just what it was. But he said he added that it had a bench seat. And he said that allowed my wife and I to sit next to each other in the car and smooch. but the point is, right. it took him back to a very, very happy day. And it releases those feel-good endorphins that we're always hearing about, not only for the older driver, but also for Kim or I. You know, sure. that's fun to go back in time with that person. If they were in the military, and oftentimes these are World War II or now Korean War age veterans, the men particularly, but many times the women as well. But we talk to them about their military experience. And again, it's something they enjoy talking about. You know, typically their family members have heard all of Dad's war stories, you know, and dad's friends are starting to pass away. You know, we're getting older, and so they don't have anybody to share those conversations with and those memories with.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a lot of clinical, more data oriented type questions, but some of it just as well is just to build this sense of trust with the person.
Right. So, Kim, is there a way to have these conversations? Because, again, I think the word independence is what people would say they're giving up if they can't drive. How can you still make them feel like they have some, you know, dignity and independence, like we're trying to do here, when you're, you know, do decide that they shouldn't drive anymore? Do you still try to leave it up to them after you have the conversation? Or do you just tell the loved one, man, there's no way your loved one should be on the roads?
Yeah, and generally Matt's right. A lot of them do make that decision on their own after performing all these tests and answering all these questions, and they recognize that they are no longer probably safe behind the wheel. And something that Matt actually, at the end of it, after we speak with him, he's actually signs a certificate. It basically states that, you know, he's consciously made the decision to no longer drive. And then there's also a help. What is that called, Matt? The form that they are actually asking for help moving forward with the driving,
Exactly. It's an invitation to help form for the driver that is going to indeed retire from driving. And it just, look, it's meant to, for the individual to be able to maybe post it on the church bulletin board or, you know, organizations they belong to, and all it says is, look, you know, I've decided on my own to retire from driving. There might be times where I could use a ride. If you think you're somebody that could, you know, maybe help me with that on occasion, you know, here's my phone number. And but families have found that very helpful over the years. It's certainly not a solve-all problem, but or solution, rather, but families have found it helpful in certain conditions.
Right.
Sure.
So, Kim, do you suggest for the family member to approach the subject with the loved one and kind of talk to them a little bit before they call you in, or just let you break the news?
Yes, no, absolutely. I mean, obviously the conversations have to start at home. And what I like is the family involvement, where everybody kind of joins in and they all express their concerns mm-hmm. to their parents. And, you know, Matt's even put together a workbook. So if it's something as simple as the family thinks they can probably navigate this, there are workbooks available out there. If they feel that this is absolutely no way they're going to be able, or they've brought it up, I just heard a conversation today. A woman, they asked her to please stop driving, and she said no. They took the car keys away. She went out and got a rental car and continued driving. So she just kept this, she kept moving forward. And they got the rental car keys, took that away, then she found another way of driving. So a lot of times in those instances, they've tried everything possible. Mm-hmm. They've exhausted all options, and that's where we come into play.
Right.
And that's when you come in and bring in that third party, like Mac was saying, so that we can help them navigate these decisions without having to steal the keys every different car they're able to get access to.
Sure. So, Matt, during this 3 hours, basically, I mean, kind of just walk us through the process and kind of the steps of that.
Sure. So like Kim alluded to, we interview the family in advance to find out what their concerns are and just to get a rough idea of what their medical situation is and things like that. And then we sit down with the older driver. Kim was right. We do it at the individual's home. We like to say at their kitchen table, the one place in the world they're most comfortable.
Right.
And then we spend the next, we say three. It doesn't generally take that long, 2.5, 3 hours, going through this learning conversation that we talked about where we ask all of these questions. And then along the way, Scott, we're doing different cognitive exercises. About 8 of them, I believe, are in the session. And then at the end, we make a recommendation to the individual that you're either A, at an elevated risk for a future traffic crash because of the natural aging process, or B, you're not in an elevated risk for a future traffic crash. And then we have a very nice discussion with that person. Typically, believe this or not, even if we're recommending that they retire from driving, those conversations are still very cordial. Very cordial and mature, and they're beneficial conversations. But then once we get that ironed out with the older driver, you've explained to him that I don't think he should continue driving, and here's why I say that. And you, of course, they're going to want some discussion surrounding that. They're going to want further explanation on things and a better understanding of why you're saying that. And then that last half hour, Scott, we invite the family to come back in now, where during the bulk of the session, it was just Kim and the older driver. Now we invite the family back so that everybody can hear straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, that I think you're should retire from driving, and here's why I say that. So the older driver is still involved in that conversation as well, and then we show the family and explain to the family what types of exercises we did and how he maybe didn't necessarily perform well on certain ones of them. And then we have a nice discussion, too, about how this person can maintain their independence despite a retirement from driving, because that's what this is all about. You mentioned it, Scott, that they want to maintain their independence. They don't want to be, nor should they be, placed under house arrest.
Sure.
Just because they made the right and the difficult decision, but right decision, to retire from driving. It's disappointing to me that sometimes we almost seem to punish older drivers for making that tough decision, because we just turn around and leave them then sitting at their in their empty houses, otherwise empty houses. So we have a very nice discussion on different things available in that particular community. The family is typically very helpful in those conversations. They're offering up different suggestions on how they can help Dad maintain his independence. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, they're generally very positive conversations. And then when we leave the house, Scott, the magic of this whole thing is the older driver is not irritated with anybody because he's involved in the process from the moment you sat down at the kitchen table. And he knows, too, because we remind him several times during the session that you're still the decision maker.
Yes, sir. Great information. Yeah. And Kim, we got about 30 seconds here, and I did not mean to leave this to the end, but the cost. Let's talk about that for a minute.
So the three-hour visit, 2.5, 3 hours, is $400.
Okay.
And generally speaking, that's probably the best $400 you're
going to spend
in lieu of what an accident looks like or anything else for that matter. So, again, I really can't stress enough that we're here to help. We're here to be a part of your decisions. We're here to help them make that decision on their own and keep the dignity that they deserve.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, hey, thanks for being with us again. We will do this more because this is a very needed topic to help people with, and we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me.
All right. And Kim, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Kim's number, 720-625-2782. You can check out the website, seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro. Again, that's seniorcareauthority.com/Denver Metro, 720-625-2782. This is Haystack Help Radio.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
At Flesh & Beck Law, your attorney sets you at ease from the first meeting so you have the space to think clearly. After an injury, you immediately start worrying about how you will afford the healing process. You start thinking about insurance deductibles, physical therapy appointments, vehicle repairs, and how to pay for rent in the meantime. Listening to one calm, qualified voice throughout the process will help you think rationally instead of making decisions based on anxiety. Call Flesh and Beck Law for a free, no-obligation consultation, and you will talk to a lawyer right away, not some legal assistant who just wants to find out how much money your case might be worth. Then, once you and your attorney both decide to move forward with your case, you will continue working with that attorney the whole time. The same person who meets you for a consultation will also sit beside you in court. Eliminate the fear of the unknown. Call Flesh and Beck Law at 303-806-8886.
Hey, Dan, you know our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. I don't mention this as often as I should, but be sure and check out our website, haystackhelpradio.com. You can catch all of our podcasts there, and our referral list is listed there as well. Glad to have our good friend Scott Hinke in with us. Scott is with OnSite Consulting, and they have been handling our personal computer issues for many, many years, and highly recommend them. And boy, it seems like every few days I hear about different friends having different issues with their computers, and whether they be at work or at home, now that so many have been working from home for through all this time with the COVID issue. And I'm telling you, if you're looking for somebody that will take all that anxiety away, it is OnSite Consulting. They're located at 6446 East Hamden here in Denver. And you can check out their website, OnSite, and that is O-N-S-I-T-E, Denver.com. And with that, we will welcome Mr. Hinke. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to see you. And how's business been?
It is overwhelming. I've been saying that for about 15 months now.
You don't have one gray hair, though, man.
I get one or two, and I pluck them out so nobody notices.
Oh, dude.
So I do get them once in a while. Yeah, I read this article once about a couple weeks ago that said most IT people regret being in IT because of COVID, because everybody needs us for something.
Yeah.
Our moms need us. Our aunt needs us. The neighbor needs us. Our jobs need us. Now everybody's working from home, so they need an IT guy to go to their house. So IT guys are just overwhelmed.
Sure.
And we've turned some business, quite a bit of lucrative business away during COVID because we want to focus on our other customers. But it's the same with every company I've talked to.
Yeah.
We're so inundated with the amount of technological problems right now. And that a lot of those problems kind of flow down to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're getting more and more.
Is it hard to even find, for the most part, some of your, you know, stores and all, just finding even laptops and different computers?
Yeah, there's a lot of, at the beginning, there was a lot of supply chain issues. So a lot of our parts come from China,
right,
which happens to be where the virus is. And so they had a lot of shipping issues. Like, hey, you could order something from China, could be here in 6 months. We don't know when it's going to be here. Right now, the only thing that's really kind of behind is video cards. So on a computer, on a desktop, a video card will let you do a lot of different things simultaneously. For most homeowners, it's not a big deal, but for kids who play video games or architects, you need to pay for a really nice video card, $300 to $1,000 for a video card. And I guess they're all made in China. I don't know where they're made, but nobody can get them right now. So at some of the stores in Denver, you have to sign an affidavit, only one video card per person. Like nobody can go in there and buy more than one because it's such a scarcity of just these one parts, a video card. You can get a normal video card that's $30,
right,
but you can't get a really nice one that's $300 to $500. So that's what the part is there. We get a lot of computers from auctions. So we're a Microsoft refurbisher. So we can take a computer that's coming in auction for like the government and schools and stuff like that. And then we refurbish it and we sell it at like half price of what a normal computer is. And that supply chain was interrupted because the schools were shut down, which oddly shut down the warehouse for the school, even though the computers aren't in the schools, they're just sitting in a warehouse. But the guys in the warehouse took a couple months off too, and no computers were there. So we were really short with a lot of things, but we're back up to speed now with getting good laptops and desktops for people.
Yeah, great. For those that haven't heard you on, and I've been on several times now over the last few months, but do you want to just take a minute and kind of reset of what you guys offer there to on-site consulting for, you know, us as just normal folks that just maybe work for ourselves and then to businesses as well?
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this for 39 years. And it's exhausting. And like when I started it, one of my first clients who I still have today, we had floppy disks and the large floppy disks, not the small floppy disks. And there were no hard drives in computers and the internet wasn't around. A mouse wasn't around. And so I've seen a lot of issues from the 1980s up till today. And so we help a lot of people with no matter what they've got issues with. I like to teach classes and doing kind of public speaking things like what I'm doing now. Get out in the community and just help people out with learning stuff, right? But we have a shop where we fix things, where you can bring it in. So if it's a thing that's time-consuming, like putting in a new hard drive or transferring all your programs and documents to a new computer or fixing that weird glitch that's happening, you bring it into the shop. We have technicians that'll go out to your home and business, and we're trying to decrease that as much as we can just to keep, you know, COVID under wraps. And
sure.
We can do a lot of stuff remotely. People just don't even realize how computer guys could do almost everything remotely. But we cut it back as much as we can with going out to people's houses and businesses. And then we've got a refurbished showroom where we, like I said, we refurbish computers and sell them at half price with a warranty on there. And then, but we've been moving a lot towards remotes. So we've got 4 technicians right now doing remotes into people's computers where people think, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. You have to come and see it. No, let me just remote in and we can fix it a lot less expensively by just remoting into your computer.
Right. Scott Hinke is with us. Once again, the company is On-Site Consulting. They're located at 6446 East Hamden. Their number is 720-482-8383. So are you seeing the same, quote, computer issues today that you were seeing before all this COVID stuff started?
We're seeing the same 3 major issues. It's just that they are exploded to like 2 or 3 times what they were pre-COVID. It's funny, when I first started with computers back in the 80s, the only problem that happened with a computer was the on button would sometimes get stuck and you'd have to replace the on button in a computer. I swear, that was the only problem that happened with the computer, or somebody stepped on your floppy disk or something like that. So, and that was it. But now there are just so many issues and they're all kind of elevated to a different level. I kind of think there's 3 different categories. Hardware, and that's the stuff you can see and touch, like a mouse and a printer and a computer itself and the computer screen. I usually tell it like things that you can throw out the window when you're really upset. Oh my gosh, I hate computers. You take your keyboard and you throw the keyboard out the window. So that's called hardware. And then software is the stuff in the computer, on the hard drive. And that's what usually causes most of the problems. You know, Windows, Macintosh operating system, viruses, your program doesn't work. You got to transfer your files, all that stuff that you can't really see. You can't really see a file on your hard drive. But that's really 90% of the problems are people's software. And the third category are criminals. I mean, it's 2 or 3 times the amount of scams that are going around now than were there pre-COVID.
Wow. Now, let's talk about maintenance side of things. You know, all of us, we get a car. We know we got to do oil changes. We got to do certain maintenance or something really bad's going to happen. Are there things that we should be doing, you know, once every 6 months, once a year, whatever, just to bring something in to you for just maintenance issues?
Well, the simplest thing, which is intuitive for most people, but a lot of people don't do this, is just shut down and restart your computer once in a while. I know that seems like common sense, but some people will leave their computers on for years and never restart their computer.
Really?
Never, ever restart it. Or you have a laptop and you just shut the screen, you know, you shut the lid, and you assume it's off. Well, that's just standby. So it's not giving your computer the chance to get all the updates and patches done. And then when the next round of patches come, that screws up the last round of patches that you haven't, because you didn't reboot. It's kind of a weird cycle. But the one thing that people should do once a week at least is to shut down and then to restart your computer. That's really simple. But then we recommend bringing in your computer once a year for an annual tune-up, because there are so many things that a computer person will see that you won't see. You know, do you have a backup? Probably 25% of the people have never backed up their computer. and they will regret that when their computer fails. And you're going to lose all your family photos right. and stuff like that. So
what that does for someone, for those of us that are technically challenged, is if their computer does just go out totally, you could take the broken computer, get them a new computer, and put everything back on the new one.
Right.
If it's backed up properly.
Right. Okay. It's making a second copy of everything that you have. Because you always have to have your data in two or three different places. People put it in one place. Like, you know, remember day timers and people carried around a paper day timer? And you have all your phone numbers in there and your calendar and your top secret numbers and your mom's middle name and everything's written in one book. Well, what if somebody stole the book or you left it on top of your car and drove down the freeway or whatever the case is? What if you lost everything? So you've got to make backup copies of everything.
Right. Again, Scott Hink is with us, and it's On-Site Consulting. And, man, I'm telling you, if you're ever in the area, just drop by the showroom, see what all Scott has to offer. And if you're looking for a good deal on a computer, they can help you. And even before we get out of here today, we'll talk about some of the things Scott does for seniors. But they are really, really good at this, folks. And I'm telling you, don't just Google somewhere to help you. You don't know who you're dealing with. And as Scott said, they've been doing this a long time. It's still hard for me to believe when you say 39 years and I look at you, I want to think, dude, were you six when you started this?
I know. Well, it's just in the genes.
Yeah, and absolutely.
I don't know what else it is. Yeah, it makes people upset when I go to a high school reunion and I look the same as I did in high school.
But right,
it's absolutely one of those puberty issues. I guess I'll hit puberty someday.
Right. So really just bring it in once a year for to kind of let you guys run through it.
Yeah. That's simple. I mean, a lot of places will do it. Like I don't know what they charge. Like Best Buy and Office Depot will do it. I think it's like $100. Ours is like $80 for a tune-up. But, you know, we have specials once in a while. But you need to have somebody set eyes on it that is not you. We will realize so many things in 5 minutes. Like, oh, you've got two antivirus programs on here. You know, that means they both are not working, and you're going to crash your computer. And we could see that in seconds when you turn it on. So we could help you out quite a bit. We might come up with a special deal just for Haystack listeners or something like that. But, yeah, bring it in for a normal tune-up.
So are there any and you mentioned the criminals and the different pop-ups that we get. I mean, so many times, you know, we're all busy and everybody's right in the middle of doing something, and all of a sudden you get this pop-up and it says you need to run this, and so it kind of looks like it's official. We should take an extra few seconds and look at those things very carefully before we do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those problems I mentioned, is the bad people. There are bad people out there, and they're not targeting you. They're not targeting Scott Watley. They're targeting anybody with a computer that they can get an email or a pop-up to. So it's nothing. Don't take it personally. They're just out to get everyone. And there are ways to blast pop-ups and emails. And if you ever get something popping up on your screen that says, would you like to get a notification from this company, it's going to be an advertisement. It's not going to be something official. Facebook will do a Facebook only. It'll say somebody wants to be your friend or whatever. But almost everything else is an advertisement. So even if you click that on a site for hiking, you're going to get a pop-up saying your antivirus program isn't working, which it is working. Right. They're just lying and telling you that. So.
And Microsoft, all those, they're never going to call us, right?
Microsoft does not know your phone number. How on earth can they be calling you? And they can't backtrack and look at your computer, tie it to a phone number, and know that you have a virus on it. There's no technological way in the world. So consequently, Amazon's not going to do it either. People get calls from Amazon saying there's a problem with their computer. That doesn't even make any sense. People get calls from Apple. People get calls from the IRS saying there's something wrong with your computer. None of this makes any sense. And I hate to – I'm not trying to be categorical, but if the person has an accent, that kind of alerts you that this phone call is coming from another country, because it's harder to prosecute somebody in another country than it is the United States.
Yeah.
So companies from all over the world – are calling us and saying their name is Charlie Brown and I live in Arkansas and I would like to help you with your computer. And they're not, and they're out to get you. We get about one customer per day. Now, we help over 9,500 people in Denver, really loyal customers that have been with me for years and years. And we help one person a day that has fallen for a scam. Now, almost falling for a scam is like almost clicking on the link or almost letting somebody in your computer. We're talking about letting somebody all the way in your computer, and then they can put a virus on there. They could put pop-ups on there, and in a week, when the pop-up comes up, you're going to call that number, which is the same guy, and then he's going to charge you $200 to fix your computer. So the scams are prevalent, and you need to be extra paranoid. That's what I think. People made fun of me when I was paranoid a long time ago. Now I'm the safe one. You got to be paranoid. No one's going to call you. Don't click on the pop-up. If you get an email from your office or from anybody that says, here's the scan you requested, and you didn't request a scan. It's from somebody you don't know. Don't click on the scan.
Right.
It's common sense for most people, but some people are curious. Oh, what's this going to do? It's, you know.
Right. And your bank is probably never, or your credit card company is never really going to ask you to verify it just randomly.
Right.
Your Social Security number.
Right. That doesn't make any sense. The bank has your Social Security number, right, and they know your balance and they know your password. They're not going to call for that. So another thing that, though, they'll send out scams that says, here's a survey from your bank. Hey, Chase Bank is doing a survey. We just want to ask you these five questions. So you answer the five questions. And then it says, okay, we need your account number and password so we can give you $10 for taking the survey. So you think you're getting free $10. You just gave somebody your password after you took a random survey.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, Scott Hinke is with us. Their number is 720-482-8383. When we come back, Scott's going to give us some solutions to some of the things we can do for our computers and how to protect yourself. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Scott Hinke is with us, On-Site Consulting. You can check out their website, onsitedenver.com. Once again, that is onsitedenver.com. And their number is 720-482-8383. All right, Scott, so when we talk about hardware and then you talk about upgrading the hard drive or entire computer, of course, I guess that takes the diagnostic for you to look at to see which one's better for us. But when you talk, you know, upgrading the hard drive, what is that going to do for us? And how old is a computer before you need to upgrade it, probably?
Yeah. I kind of think it's every other time. One time you, after 5 years, you should replace the hard drive. And after 10 years, you should just replace the computer. That's if you're just like a normal home user,
yeah,
you know, and speed isn't that critical. You know, the difference between an old computer and a new one is the speed. And if you don't care about going 80 times faster and you're okay with going 40 times faster, you just go 40 times faster and save half the money. So, you know, in computers, the biggest part that is the most important is the hard drive. And that's what holds all your information in there. It has your pictures and your documents and your resume and your emails and your passwords. And your computer won't turn on unless your hard drive's working right. Well, those average 3 to 5 years in a business and 5 to 7 years at a home. Now, because of COVID, everybody's working from home. So their computers are getting used twice as much as they ever used to be. Okay, they're on their computer for 12 hours a day. And so the hard drives are getting used a lot more often, and the longevity is getting shorter and shorter. That makes sense. So I would say 3 to 5 years is when you should replace your hard drive on your computer. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, I know, but it's still working. I said, I know it's working, but it's not going to continue to work forever. We've had people with XP computers. Remember XP? Those are 20 years old. And they come in and they just want a tune-up. I says, I could sell you an entire computer for the price of a tune-up for $80.
Right.
We have an $80 computer that is way faster than yours with a brand new hard drive for $80. please take this one. And they really have a hard time getting this through their head.
Sure.
That, look, I'm willing to give you a used computer with a brand new drive that is 40 times faster than your computer for $80.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come in for that. You're trying to upsell me. No, I'm not. It's the same amount of money.
Sure.
Just get a new computer. So I would say replace the hard drive. 3 to 5 years if it's used heavily, 5 to 7 years if you're kind of a casual user, maybe check your email once a day or something like that. And then you replace the computer about every 10 years.
Right.
But the hard drive is the part that you've got to back up. That's what you're backing up. You're not backing up the computer. You're backing up the information on that hard drive to another hard drive. So you got to do that, or you replace the drive. But believe me, once you get it replaced with a high-speed drive, your life changes. You're in heaven. That computer works 6 to 8 times faster just with that one part in there. And anyway, so that's what you look at, is replacing the drive.
Great. Now, you also have a pretty neat program for seniors.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that a minute.
Well, and we're not age discriminatory. So if you're not a senior, you can still take part of it. But it's called PCs for Seniors. So that's a lot with these refurbs. We call them refurbs or refurbished computers that we get from schools and just about everywhere. That's what I was talking about, a computer for $80. Well, it's a refurbished one, and it's slow, but or you can get a really fast one for $200 or a super fast one for $400. But that's a lot less expensive than what you're going to pay for a brand new one. And we do all the things that the big box stores do. We put a one-year warranty on it. A lot of places only do a one-month warranty, but we believe in doing the right thing, so it's a one-year warranty. We actually have a remote program that we use a lot with our big businesses that remotely can tell the health of a computer. It tests the hard drive, the memory, and stuff like that all remotely. And we charge big businesses that, but we put it on these computers for free for 1 year just so we can detect a problem before it happens on the computers.
Right. So. Now, when it comes to passwords, I mean, wow, do we live in an age of passwords? Everything we do. And, yeah. You know, you always hear, use a strong password.
Yeah.
So, from an expert like yourself, what makes a strong password?
Okay, a weak password is a word that's in the dictionary, okay, in the U.S. dictionary. There's only like 200,000 words in the U.S. dictionary, and a computer can try 200,000 words in about an hour, okay? So it's really easy to try that. You want to make it so it's not in the dictionary. So uppercase and lowercase. Let's just use the word Broncos. In Colorado, amazingly, a lot of people's password is Broncos, okay? And I've just told you probably 5,000 people's password, but it's Broncos. So instead of B-R-O, put B-R-0. So it still looks like the word Broncos, but it's got B-R-0-O-N-C-0-S.
Right.
So it looks like Broncos, but it's got zeros in there because that word is not in the dictionary, right? So it's a lot harder to break into that. And then you throw in some symbols in there. So put a hashtag or an exclamation point at the end. That makes it even harder. And the longer the password, the better. I remember, when was that, 25 years ago, passwords had to be 3 letters long. That was the maximum. That you must have a password at least 3 letters. And now they're requiring 8. But the longer it is, the more permutations a computer's got to try to get in your computer. And it's in the hundreds of years. So just add it, make it longer, like 10 digits, and throw some symbols in there, and that'll be good. Now, one thing about passwords, I think this is really interesting if you guys ever want to try it, but you know, passwords are often saved on the computer. It'll ask you that, do you want to save the password? And when I go to hotels, I'll check in the hotel lobby computer to see if anybody else's passwords are on there. I know it's a little creepy, but I'm just curious. So in Google, there's a spot that'll save passwords. And if you, with about 5 clicks, you can look at other people's email passwords that have sat at that computer in the hotel and check their email. So if I was a criminal, I could write all these down. And now I have access to their email address, and I could go to the bank and say, oh, I need my password reset, and they'll send it to my email. I could commit major fraud because you're on a public computer, and you hit the button that said save password. So a lot of really high-end hotels, I've only been to one high-end hotel my whole life, their computer restarts every 30 minutes. It would turn it off,
right.
And then it erased the computer, and it brought it back up. It was really aggravating for me, but that's the right thing to do. It turns it off, wipes every password off, and starts Windows back fresh like it was yesterday. But most places that I stay in, Motel 6, Super 8, their computers, they don't have IT people. They just got a computer in the lobby. And you'll see in there that you could see other people's passwords. So you've got to wipe your passwords out and change them regularly.
So if you're on that hotel computer, you're saying, don't save your password? Is that
for sure.
The smartest thing?
Yeah, for sure. And then I usually restart the computer. whether it's because a lot of them are set to restart, but they don't do it automatically.
Okay.
You rely on somebody in the hotel to walk down to the lobby and hit restart. Nobody's going to remember to do that. So it's
and
funny.
On our show a few weeks ago, you talked about, too, even connecting to these free Wi-Fis when you walk in a place.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with that.
Right. And officially, people in the hotel are probably not scammers, but they could capture all your information, whether you're in the hotel lobby or in the room. You could set up a computer in the back office that captures every bit of transmission through the network, and now you've given away your password again.
So you're sitting at DIA waiting on a flight or an airport, anywhere.
I thought about this all the time. I did a show in Denver with a guy several years ago, and we went to the Cherry Creek Mall, which is a high-end mall. Okay, everything's $1,000. A T-shirt is $1,000. And we sat in the lobby, and I had a friend who's a hacker, and he opened his laptop, and he can see transmissions through other people going through the network. And he could see other people's emails and passwords traveling through the free Wi-Fi, sitting in the parent waiting area next to the playground in the Cherry Creek Mall. Okay, so just be very careful with public Wi-Fi, and better yet, change your password all the time. And when you go traveling, don't go to an expensive hotel. Stay in a Super 8.
Because they ain't got Wi-Fi.
No, they got free Wi-Fi in Super 8.
So when you say change your password often, what are you talking? Every 30 days?
Oh, no. Well, governments have you change it every quarter, and I can't stand that. My QuickBooks program requires me to change it every quarter. Can't stand that. But that's the best thing to do, is change it every quarter. But that's mind-boggling. Like, you can't remember. And I've got 400 passwords. I'm going to change all my passwords. So about once a year, I'll change my passwords. But the way I do it is I hired my teenage daughter to change all my passwords, because it takes months to change every single password that you have. You don't just push a button. You got to go log into the website, like Chick-fil-A. You got to log into Chick-fil-A, change your Chick-fil-A password, and then write it down somewhere, and then go to the next place and the next place. So, yeah, change it frequently.
Right. Scott Hinke is with us. Once again, it is On-Site Consulting. And I'm telling you, they just offer a great service. They take care of people right. And they'll do all the diagnostics on your computer and a lot of things. They can help you remotely, which I know, man, you've helped my wife, Victoria, a lot there. Just checked in real quick, got everything handled. And but they will help you out. And a great company, and we need to support our local companies. So you can go to onsitedenver.com. That's onsitedenver.com. And their number is 720-482-8383. And then the other website Scott mentioned is PCS, the number 4, seniors.com as well. And Scott does a great job in training and doing some things. And somebody asked me about that, you know, do you do any classes? Do you think when COVID, I don't know when we're going to get back, do you offer any classes normally at the shop?
Not at the shop. I teach through some agencies. There's one called the Academy of Lifelong Learning. OLLI is a thing through the Denver University for retired people. I teach at the Retired Cherry Creek School Teachers Association, which amazingly, my computer teacher is in the class that taught me computers 30 years ago, is in the class that I'm teaching him. And I do some things online, but there's so many resources now. You can go to YouTube and type in, I can't change my Google password, and you can find the answers of it. One last thing I want to say before we go off the air that people really need to remember, if you don't remember anything this whole show, don't let anybody ever remote into your computer unless you know exactly who that person is.
Yeah.
You don't know the guy from HP or Microsoft or the guy down the street or from Excellent PC Repair Denver, okay? And that's how people get identity theft and fraud and all their money taken, okay? Just don't let anybody in your computer unless you know them personally. And thank goodness everybody listening right now knows me personally.
Knows you personally, absolutely. Again, we highly recommend and endorse Scott at On-Site Consulting. Give him a call, 720-482-8383. And when you go in, let him know you heard about him here on Haystack Help Radio. Scott, as always, thank you very much. And we want to thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.